All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciated the hymns this morning, and encouragement. Just a real blessing to be strong. The title of this, that last song we sang. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning, and we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have all things in your hands, Father. Lord, we thank you, God, that all things happen to bring you glory and honor. And we just again want to praise you this morning, Lord, that the name of the Lord would be blessed, Father. Help us to be faithful to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to have wisdom as we open your words. Give us clarity of mind and heart, Father, to see the city set before us, Father, that we might pursue it. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to, this morning, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Read verse 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Then in First Peter it says, you don't have to turn there. It says, be sober, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Let's just begin. Yeah, go ahead and turn there. First Peter chapter 5. I may just read quite a bit of this. Verse 1. Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witnesses of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, comfort, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Just want this morning to take this verse that we read. Be alert. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. And be strong. And then we take this and in 1 Peter that goes along with that, telling us to cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. And to be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And verse 11, it says, to Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to talk this morning about what being a man. The one verse said, act like men. One place it says, quit you in King James, quit you like men, or to be a man and be strong. And I wanted to read this other passage, casting your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Today, we live in a day where probably the biggest attack that Satan has, talked about be careful because he says a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes we think, whenever we think of that, we think of, oh, he might tempt me into some sin or tempt me into doing something wrong and just waiting to, just for me to fall into something bad. And it has a little of that, but the attack that Satan has upon this world, he uses sin to entice us, to draw us away, to get us entangled. But his primary attack is not just so we'll do bad things. His primary attack is on the creation that God made, being a man. And that's probably under attack today more than I know of in history. May have been worse, but it seems like today that everywhere you turn, there's an attack on men just being men. And I'm not even talking about being a real man, but just manliness or being a man. All the confusion of whether people are boys or whether they're girls or whether they feel like or identify or they don't know which bathroom to go in. That is just an attack of confusion. It's just a confusion on man, a man being a man, and a woman being a woman. We've said it before, and when a man is a man, and a woman is a woman, all that confusion goes away. When a man acts like a man, and is a man, and the woman is a helper, and submissive, all of that confusion about identity goes away. But when man is trying to be made more effeminate and women more masculine, and just all of this confusion, the women taking the lead and controlling things and just taking over everything, getting out of the place. Sometimes we hear the ideas of the confusion that women, they might think that they're a man, or a man might think that they're a woman. When a woman is out of her place and acting like a man, what's the difference in that in homosexuality? They may not carry it to the same levels, but it's the same spirit behind it. And when a man is acting like a sissy, he may not be a homosexual, but if he's not doing his place, he's got the role of a girl or a woman. And when you get all those things confused and mixed up, it just brings confusion to the world. And that, a man being a man like God created them to be in the first place, is Satan's primary goal, is to get all of that confused. Because when he does that, man isn't what he was created to be. Heaven will be filled with people who are being what they were created to be. Not someone that's just forgiven. Someone that just is confused and don't know whether what's what. But a man is what God created. He created men to be men. Not just some macho bully, but to be a man, to be responsible, to look out for his neighbor, to love his wife, to take care of his children, and to do the things that a man is supposed to do. Heaven will be filled with people who are fulfilling what God created us to be in the first place. The woman was created to be a helper to the man. The woman that's not being what God created her to be won't be there. It's confusion. There won't be any confusion in heaven. Men will be men, and the women who were faithful will be what they are. The Bible says there won't be sexes there. It won't be like it is here. But if we don't fulfill the role that we have here, we won't belong there because we've proven ourselves unworthy to be what He created us to be. One of the points I want to bring out this morning is that a man, you cannot be a Christian unless you're a man or a woman in the place that God created you to be. We look for some super spiritual thing. We look for some experiences. We look for things all over the place. But God made us to be men from the very beginning. And that's what Jesus was. And until we can take on the role that God put us in, until we can just be what He made us to be in the very first place, that's what a Christian is. It's just that simple. It's just someone who's returned to what God made them to be. Man in his fall has turned away from that. He's become selfish, unreliable, trouble, causing trouble, hurting people all around him. Instead of being faithful and being responsible, caring for others, we have been created to love each other, to do good, to care for your brother, to look out for other people. Sometimes I hear young boys sometimes want to, they just don't want to do something. They don't want to take care of their responsibilities. And so they complain about it. We heard about doing what we're supposed to be joyfully. You ask them to go do something or to take care of a responsibility and they just don't want to do it. They just don't want to take care of it. They would rather go play. They would rather go do something on their own. They would rather do something besides what they need to do. Talking to a boy this week about this, and he just didn't want to do this. He didn't feel like it. And as I was talking to him, I said, "You know, I don't feel like going to where there's people waiting on me right now. I don't feel like it. But there's people that are waiting on me to be there. I've got to quit doing something, because I'm trying to talk to you about you not wanting to do something. I'm going to have to quit doing this and go take care of something because someone is depending on me. I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice because there's responsibilities. A man has responsibilities. He takes them and he does it, whether he wants to or not. Your little feelings and your little pride or your little whatever it is that keeps you from doing just a simple thing that you're supposed to be doing is not a man. That's not a man. A man sees his responsibilities and he goes and he has to take care of it and he has to do it. There's a lot of things. If I was running on my feelings, if I was running on what I wanted, my goals, what I want to do. If I was, I wouldn't do a lot of things. But being a man is relying on your more than your emotions. It's relying on more than how you feel. It's trusting, being trustworthy, and taking care of your responsibilities, no matter what you think about it, no matter what you feel about it. It's doing your responsibility, taking care of your own responsibility. And I don't know, I've said it, if each person would just take care of their own responsibility, do you know how well that works? Whenever you've got a project going, and everyone, instead of worrying about what he's doing or what she's doing or what they're doing, just does what they're supposed to do. It's just like a well-oiled machine that just runs so smoothly and so nicely. Everyone just doing what they're supposed to be doing, taking their responsibility, and everything just glides together. That's what heaven's going to be like. Everybody just doing what they're supposed to be doing, and everything just running beautifully, the way it was created, the way God made it. But when you get somebody that's, you got this machine running, all these gears and all these wheels and all these belts turning, and what happens when one of the wheels starts squeaking in a motor? It starts complaining. It starts squeaking because there's no oil there to keep it running smoothly. So it starts complaining, and then pretty soon it starts wobbling. You know what it does to the rest of the engine, the rest of the smooth oiled machine? It just starts causing problems. Well, this starts wobbling here, and this belt gets out of whack, and this gear gets a little out of whack, and the whole thing starts just shaking and not running smooth, but clunk, 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 just causing all kinds of problems. That is not the way it's supposed to be. And pretty soon, one little wheel here that's gone bad can shut down the whole motor and cause the whole thing to fall apart. That's what sin is. It's people not being able to just do and be responsible for what God has called them to do and God has called them to be. We get worried about what somebody else is doing or how somebody else isn't doing. If everyone just does what they're supposed to do, takes the responsibility for themselves, no matter how they feel, no matter whether they like it or not, but just do it. And do it joyfully. You know, if everyone just does everything joyfully, that makes a beautiful noise. It makes a beautiful noise. And it brings glory to the Lord. Taking care of your responsibility lifts you higher than yourself. These are things that are required to be a man. These are just some things that are required to be a man. You know, we might not... Boys, they may grumble about what their dad wants them to do. But they have to be told. They have to be told. They have to be directed. They have to be instructed. And then they start on doing it, and you got to start them over again, and you got to do it again. You got to get behind them. But when you become a man, it's not someone just telling you to do what is right in front of you to do, but being able to take care of your responsibilities yourself. It's being able to not have to be told to go do something. That's when you're beginning to grow and become a man. You just begin to start to take care of what needs taken care of. You begin to be depended on because you're fulfilling the responsibilities that are right in front of your face. And so your family, your parents, your dad begins to depend on you so that he doesn't have to think, well, I wonder if the goats got fed tonight. You don't even have to wonder about that because yeah, Johnny's taking care of the goats. I don't even have to think about that anymore. Well, I wonder if he watered them. He fed them. I wondered if he watered them. Well, I don't even have to worry about that. He knows what they need. He'll take care of it. And how disappointing it is when Dad comes over there and their water bucket's dry. And the hay, they're out of hay or something. It's just what he's supposed to be taking care of, he isn't taking care of it. He's failing to be a man. A man takes care of his responsibilities. And when we're not responsible, the Bible talks about God giving us a little bit to look after, something small to look after. And he said, in the parable, Jesus said, I've given you this little thing. And he said, well done. I'm going to give you 10 cities to take care of. That's the principle he's talking about. When God can depend on you to do what he wants you to do. And it starts by being dependable in the physical realm. Being dependable in the physical. Whenever your dad can depend on you, or your mother can depend on you, or your family can depend on you, then God sees, hey, there's someone that I can depend on. Everybody in the Bible that God called, they were doing something. They were maintaining. I think it was Gideon that was watching, threshing wheat, I think. And he was busy. He was just carrying out his daily routine that his father had put him to do. Saul was looking for his father's mules whenever God called him. There was one man that was just guarding the pea patch. I don't remember what his name was. But he was just protecting the pea patch, the lentils. And that's when God called him. He was just doing what God wanted him to do. Just common, natural, being a faithful man. David, King David, whenever God called him, where was he? He was looking after his father's sheep. Just dependable. Taking care of the natural things. And God called him. God don't call somebody out there, look out there sitting on a mountain waiting to hear from God. That's not the people he calls. He's not calling someone that's just trying to listen and wait and hear for God. He's looking for someone he can depend on. And if your father can't depend on you, and your mother can't depend on you, and your family can't depend on you, God can't depend on you. The way we live, the way we do with each other is how God sees us. And until we can do the simple things, the 1, 2, 3s, the very basic things that seem like boring. Until we can handle the boring, we're never going to see exciting. Be a man. Quit. Be a man. Stand strong. Being a man is under attack. God's order is under attack. A man being the head of his home. A man being what God created him to be. A man just taking care of himself, taking care of his own responsibilities. Being a man is under attack. A man making decisions because he's taking care of his responsibilities is under attack today. People can't hardly stand when a man makes a decision and stands by it. They can't hardly stand whenever a man takes his responsibility and just stands by it. The world hates that. The world hates a man being a man. They hate it. Why? Because Satan hates it. Because a man brings God glory. Because the man is created in the image of God. We talk about being a Christian and having all the right Bible verses and all of the scriptures and all of the holy feelings and holy experiences. We can talk about that all day long. But if you can't be a man, you can't please God. Just pure and simple. God calls those whom He can depend on. Can He depend on you? And if your parents can't depend on you, if your boss can't depend on you, if the people around you can't depend on you, God can't depend on you. It's just amazing how simple it is and how easily overlooked it is. Because we can just cover it up with religion. We can cover it up with all kinds of things and just completely miss. There's a war against the home. There's a war. And that war against the home, where a man is the head of the home and his wife is supporting him, that is just under attack. On every level. Equal rights. Where a woman has the same voice as the man. Very seldom happens. Most of the time she's trying to be above the man. But the cry for an equal voice. That's the heart of Satan attacking God's creation. All of those things are under attack. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you want to be a man, that's why this Bible says, be a man. And then it says, be strong. Be strong. That's why the Bible says that the devil is roaring, seeking about whom he may devour. When you decide to be a man, you're going to hear the devil roar. You're going to hear it roar. Because that's his primary attack. If he can get people from being men that God created them to be, he's won. Forget about going and getting drunk or going and having parties and going and all the worldly things. If you decide to be a man, or when you become a man, or when you start being a man, the battle begins. He'll come at you with everything that he has. Whenever you decide that you're going to be a man that God created, and you're going to live for Jesus, and you're going to follow, Satan is turned loose. And the attacks come. That's why these songs of encouragement. Be strong. It doesn't matter. This last verse, in verse 11, in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 11, it says, to him be dominion forever and ever. It's talking about Christ. Sometimes this world. You know, there's sometimes I just cry out to the Lord. I said, where are you, Lord? I mean, there's just times it's, why do you see so many things? People just, it seems like fighting an army. And they have airplanes and tanks and machine guns. And we're called to turn the other cheek. We're called not to resist evil. We're told, just be a man. And you got airplanes buzzing around you, shooting at you, and dropping bombs all around you. Tanks rolling around you and just almost just squishing you all the time. And you want to just rise up and fight. Get a hold of this. Blow a tank up at least. Do something. Because that's part of being a man. And yet, that's a natural thing. But Jesus says to love your enemies, to do, and that, it just seems sometimes, Lord, they're fighting with everything. Satan is a roaring lion, and I've got a T-bone steak tied around my neck. I mean, that's the way it feels. And he just says, stand there. Keep walking. Just, your battle is not to fight. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Sometimes we don't do very well. But we just got to stand. And I see people that are young people. I just wonder, Lord, how can people be brought up and just taught to hate you? Done everything in their power. The world does everything in their power to turn you, to make you lazy, to make you, keep you from being responsible. Just doing everything in their power to keep you from being a man. They're given welfare. Their mother coddles them. They just do all kinds of things, just seemingly just to make the people as worthless as they can. Just turn them into a bunch of whiny crybabies waiting for a whole handout. And then telling them they're a victim. Turning them against anything that's good and right. To where it just stinks in their eyes. They call good evil and evil good. Mothers turning their children totally against everything that's right, but painting them some kind of garbage religion, filling their head with all kinds of nonsense. I just wonder sometimes, Lord, that ain't fair. That ain't right. How can this be? And all I can do is just say, it shouldn't be that way, and then everybody get mad at you. You just want to fight whenever they're just coming at you from every angle. And all you can do is take care of what's right in front of you. All you can do is be responsible, be faithful, when everything around you is trying to keep you from that. This is a war. You just see things happen. I've seen things happen that I know that there's, I'm not even fighting a flesh and blood thing here anymore. I mean, there's a power, there's a spirit that's doing things, and half the time of my life, I'm just thinking, wow, I can't even, how can this be happening? It's just crazy that some of the stuff that I've seen that goes on. How can it just doesn't even fit in a natural realm. People acting ways and saying things that are just completely unnatural. Fighting something so much bigger and so much powerful and so hidden. The spiritual world. Satan as a roaring lion trying to destroy us. We're helpless. We're helpless. And all we can do by walking and doing what we're supposed to be doing, the only thing that keeps us from being devoured is God's hand on us. We see things fall right and left. Sometimes our friends turn against us. Sometimes our family turns against us. Sometimes the whole world, and it just seems like, what am I doing? I just want to give up. I just want to give up. Because it seems so hopeless. But He His dominion is forever and ever. Satan is a master at making things look impossible and dark and hard. It may seem hard that what we've talked about this morning may be fearful, may be afraid to try it. That although we can't see Him, and although you just wonder where He is, I still believe that Christ is in control of all things. Disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And it just seems black, hopeless. See, hopeless situations, sad situations, heartbreaking situations. And it may all fall apart. All of the hopes and all of the wishes we have for someone else and it all may fall completely apart. But Christ's dominion is forever and ever. And somehow, He'll see us through it. Last week we had storms. The clouds were covering the skies dark. And we've asked the children before, on a cloudy day, if the sun is shining. You ask them if the sun's shining, and of course most people look out the window and they see these dark clouds and they say, no, the sun isn't shining. But the sun is shining. The sun never is not going out. It's still shining. The clouds have covered it. I may not be able to see it. I may not feel the warm rays. I might not be able to see as good. But it's still shining. It's the way this earth is. It's the way this world is. It's the way this life is. Faith comes when you're in a storm and when the clouds are there. Job, after everything, he lost everything, sitting in a pile of ashes with sores all over him. And he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. There was nothing, no evidence of that. His wife cursed him and told him to go kill himself. All of his friends came around and told him, oh, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. You must have done something really bad. He said, yet I know my Redeemer liveth. That's what being a man is. Being a man. That's all that's required. You decide to do what's right, be responsible, love the Lord, take care of your own business, follow Jesus. And the Lord will gift you with all these things, so that your faith can become strong. Act like men. Be strong. I want to read a poem. Found encouraging from time to time. It's called If, Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet, don't look too good or talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build up with worn out tools. Build them up again with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew and serve your turn long after they're gone, and so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what's more, you'll be a man, my son. That really just sums up a lot of things about it. Means to be a man. Man is under attack. I just want to encourage you and remind you that we're not raising children. We're not child training. We're not raising children. We're trying to train them to be men. We're trying to train them to be men. And women. We're trying to train them to be what God wants them to be. That's just so foundational. Trying to teach people to be men. So that's what we're training for. That's what our goal is. We're not training our children to be our buddies. We're not training our children just to pamper them. We're not trying to train our children to give them better than what we had when we were growing up. We're training them to be men. And that takes putting them through some hardship, letting them do some suffering. Everything is automatic anymore. And the time spent in doing something is usually what it winds up being worth. When we can have our children do something and they have to do it from the ground up, they have to do it with their hands, it's more valuable to them because it's cost time for them to do something. We try to make things so automatic. Whenever putting toil and effort into something will help make them a better man, instead of just making their life easier. That's the goal in raising our families or boys that we can come in contact with and help. Looking for someone that don't have a father or don't have a mother, or just needs some guidance. Teach them. Not just to be your buddy, but try to train them to be a man. You can do nothing loftier than make a man out of a boy. Because that's what God did. He created a man. And if we can create men and women to be like God created them, there's nothing higher in this world. And it may seem like it's all at loss. You may train them and train them and train them, and then they choose to go away. And that's what this poem fits. Just You train and train and train, and it all just burns up. It all just goes away. You can start again and just do it again and do it again and do it again. We have free wills. We have to give people choices. We have to give people the opportunity to make these choices, to become men themselves, become women themselves, not just religiously trained robots. God has no use. He didn't create robots. He created us with wills. May the Lord add His blessing. A little word of encouragement, I think. Just being a man, when you're being a man, a lot of times the first attacks is at home. It's with your wife. Today it's so easy. One call to a lawyer, she can be gone. So the battle's right there. That's where it's got to start. You being a man. And the woman, being the woman, submitting to that. Being in the place that she's supposed to be. She's his helper. She's his helper. It's not the other way around. And that's what the attack's there. As soon as the wife resists, the man wants to just give up and just go along. And it's hard. You'll be mean and cruel and a woman hater and all kinds of things. But you still got to be a man, whether anybody understands it or not. Like I said, it's not a bully. It's not a... You just... chart your course, do what the Lord requires, and follow it. Stand on it. You'll be called stubborn and bullheaded and all kinds of things, won't listen. But hateful. But the Lord. The Lord's dominion is forever and ever. These things are just passing. The Lord's reign is forever. We may not see it in the storm, but when it comes down to it, His dominion will last. Everything else will fall away. All right, may the Lord add His blessings again. Anyone have anything you want to share? Yeah, that's another point I did want to bring out and forgot about it. That's why we as a church allow each man to make his own decisions. Each man. If he has a wife, take care of his wife. Take care of his family. That's his responsibility, not yours. And we let each man do that. And that's allowing them to be a man. If you're a man... and you can't allow someone else to be a man, it's because you don't know what being a man is. It's just like, there was a quote of a Christian this week. Somebody told it to me, I don't remember. But if you A person that can show no mercy. Well, that's a different one. There's the sign that you read. That it's the sign that he saw was God. The most godly man is the most merciful man. But this was one of the early Christians that said that if a man, only a man who knows mercy can show mercy. That's the thought. That if you can't show mercy, it's because you've never experienced it yourself. If you can look down your nose at somebody and condemn them, it's because you've never seen yourself. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. So you don't. That's the problem with looking down at other people. The mercy. A man that's tasted mercy can give mercy. A man that hasn't tasted mercy can't give it. And a man that's trying to be a man can let another man be a man. Because he knows what he's made of. And he knows that it's about being a man. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Isn't it the same way with condemnation? I mean, without a man who shows no mercy, he hasn't experienced it. But the person that's condemning others is usually under condemnation mm-hmm. themselves. Mm-hmm.
Freedom has responsibilities. Anyone else? All right, Lord, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your word. We just pray that you'd help us to live out these values of being a man. Lord, help us to learn where we've failed, Father, to rise up and go again, Father. Again, we just thank you. Go with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rise, my soul, and stretch thy wings like ever portions raised. Rise from you. Be